Song gives such a great perspective for our minds to think about eternity. We'll turn to Ephesians chapter 5. Appreciate the opportunity this evening to open up the Word and be able to speak to you from my heart what God is doing in my life. As I was studying for this week, I was in my study just praying and asking the Lord to work through me so that this evening would not be a waste of time for you, so that it would be profitable to you. And I was asking the Lord to make this text weighty upon my heart and therefore make it weighty upon your heart. As I was studying, I got a phone call, and on the other line was my mom, and she told me that there was a death of one of our friends, Dr. Ralph Rowland. Ward and Catherine Rowland attend here. Ward's dad just passed away after battling colon cancer for a while. And he had heart difficulties before that, and so it was a long road that he fought hard, but this past week he finally lost the battle, and he went home to be with the Lord. And as I spoke to my mom, it was very interesting. She made this statement. She said, "I wonder if Timmy has seen Dr. Rowland yet." Timmy was my little brother who passed away many years ago. And it's interesting because Dr. Rowland is the one who physically delivered Timmy into this world. And so now possibly there's a reuniting there taking place. But as I thought about this and as I pondered these thoughts, the weight of the text really gripped me, because I started to feel, not just know, but I really started to feel that all of this is very real. This future hope that we have is very real, and it affects me today. I think that's why Ecclesiastes 7:2 says it's better to go to the house of mourning than to the house of feasting. Because when we think about the end of life, when we think about death, it makes the realities of life very clear, the things that are most important. So as we come to this passage tonight, I trust that you will see the scriptures as being very alive, very active, and this hope that was just sung about, glorying in our Redeemer, his face will we will behold. I trust that you will see that as a truth in your life. It'll be very real. Ephesians chapter 5, starting in verse 8. I'm going to read the text together, and then I'll explain a few things, and then we'll go into our sermon. "For you were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. For the fruit of the light is in all goodness, righteousness, and truth, finding out what is acceptable to the Lord. And have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather expose them. For it is shameful even to speak of those things which are done by them in secret. But all things that are exposed are made manifest by the light. For whatever makes manifest is light. Therefore he says, 'Awake, you who sleep, arise from the dead, and Christ will give you light.'" Let's go to the Lord together. Father, we ask you that you would work in our midst tonight, that your Spirit would make these truths very real in our lives. We pray for wisdom and understanding. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I don't like to wake up. Who here likes to wake up in the morning? Okay, just a handful of you. Well, I'm not one of those people. I don't like to wake up. In fact, many times when I wake up, it's just an automatic annoyance, okay? So whether or not it's an alarm or a person waking me up or a noise outside, it's automatically just like, oh, you know, got to get up. Well, most of us don't like to wake up. Physically, that's true. But spiritually, I think it's true as well. And this text tonight is telling us to wake up. And we're going to see tonight one point that I want to get across to you. Wake up because you are light. Wake up and shine as light. And I'm going to break this passage up into 4 points, okay? The first 3 points are very easy. They're all in verse 8. Point number one, you were once darkness. Point number two, but now you are light in the Lord. Point number three, walk as children of light. And then my fourth point is just going to be some statements that will help us apply these truths. Eric gave a great foundation of these books, Philippians and Ephesians. They were written by Paul. They're the prison epistles. He was in confinement when he wrote this to the church. But the book is very easy to understand. It's broken up into 2 sections, okay? The first half and the second half. Chapters 1 and 3 are doctrinal. They tell us, you could say it's really our bank account, our spiritual bank account, the riches that we have in Christ. In 1 verse 3, he blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ. In chapter 2, he made us alive. In chapter 3, the mystery has been revealed to us. And then he shifts in chapter 4, 5, and 6, and he tells us how to use this great spiritual bank account, this fat account that we have. It's a P-H-A-T, not F-A-T, by the way. This fat bank account that we have. And in chapters 4, he starts by telling us to walk in unity. And he uses this term, walk, throughout these chapters. Because we are new men. We are new women. We are made new people in Jesus Christ. Walk like you're a new person. And in chapter 5, he tells us to walk in love, walk in light, and walk in wisdom. And what I want to hit specifically is his passage in chapter 5 that we just read, that we are to walk as light. So, first of all, I'm just going to go through the passage. We're going to tear it apart word by word, try and understand exactly what it's saying, because there are some difficult phrases in here, and then we're going to apply it. So, first phrase, what you were. Point number one, you were darkness. There is a vast amount of usages of this word throughout Scripture. It can mean physical darkness, like in Genesis 1. It connotes evil in Job, wickedness in Psalms. The disobedient are said to be in darkness in Psalm 107. It speaks of those who live in the realm of sin. That is this darkness that's oppressive. It's also the future abode of the wicked in 2 Peter and in Jude. So there are a lot of meanings of darkness, but this darkness specifically is a spiritual darkness. It's pretty obvious, I think. And when you go back to verses 18 and 19 of chapter 4, you see that their minds, the unregenerate mind, has been darkened. It is blind to the truth. So there's this spiritual darkness. And this is the darkness that we are in. But notice the language. It doesn't say that you were once in darkness. It says that you were once darkness. You were very darkness itself. So really, you were held total captive by this darkness, by the power of this sin. And that characterized you. That's what you were. You weren't just abiding there. That's what you were. Paul states that the condition of those who are in darkness is a very sad state. In 4 verses 17 and 19, specifically, he says that they are ignorant, they're blind, they've given themselves to lewdness, their past feeling, uncleanness and greediness. In chapter 2, you go back a little bit, and he says that basically, summing it up, you were dead, disobedient, and destined to doom. That's the darkness that we were. That's the darkness of the unregenerate man. The darkness of sin, I think, is sometimes difficult for us to grasp, especially for somebody who has been a Christian for a long time. If you were saved when you were a child and you grew up in a Christian home, possibly, you went to a Christian college. That was my experience. I have not been exposed to a lot of the darkness that is out there, and I'm thankful for that. If you work in law enforcement, or if you work in law, or if you work in social services, you see firsthand the darkness that is out there, don't you? You see what people deal with on a day-to-day basis that is a total foreign concept to anything that we can possibly understand or would ever want to understand or experience. There's a darkness out there that is extremely oppressive, and it sucks people in so deep that they cannot even see a possible way out. And they just go down and down and down. It's dark. It's depressing. It's horrible. This is the darkness where we were. This was our state before the light came upon us. It's pretty grim. But the good news is that Christ has delivered us from this domain of darkness according to Colossians chapter 1, verse 13. We are delivered. And that's what he says here. You were darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Now you are light. Once again, the language. It's not that we are in the light. It's not that we can just all of a sudden see everything. It's not that our eyes are just open, but we are light. In John 8, 12, he says, I am the light of the world, Jesus Christ speaking. Whoever follows me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. Darkness and light, I think, is a great metaphor for our spiritual walk because they are totally opposed to one another. If you have darkness, you have no light. If you have a room, if this room were totally dark and the exit signs and everything were off, this room would be very dark. If the cracks were sealed in the doors, it would be pitch black. There would be no light. There would be no sight. But even if I brought in a little keychain flashlight and put that light in here, you would be able to see an amazing amount of things with that little light in a pitch black room, and you would no longer have darkness. So even a little amount of light in darkness means light. It might be dim light, but it's light. So right there, you have a great picture. Darkness and light. You can't have both. It's either darkness or it's either light. There's a choice involved. As you think about the oppressiveness that is in the darkness, is it a choice that is something that you would want to make? And when you really get down to the nitty-gritty, would you want to choose the darkness? I mean, obviously, no. Obviously, no. There's one more thing about darkness that is an interesting point, is that darkness cannot exist on its own. Oh, actually, I'm sorry. Darkness does exist on its own. But light must have a source. And for the believer, the source is our light. The source is Jesus Christ. So that's a little bit about darkness and a little bit about light to bring this alive. But the believer is the very light of Jesus Christ. We have Jesus Christ in us. We are in Christ. We are one in the same. We are the light. And he is our source. So we were darkness, now we are light. Now, what do we do? The third phrase in this verse, walk as children of light. Okay, that makes sense. All right, let's do it. Well, what does he mean? What are the specifics? How do we walk? What does he mean? Who is he speaking to? Well, he says walk as children of light. All right, children, it denotes a very close family relationship that we have with our God. And the light, it's a genitive of production. So there is a source. And I said that their light must have a source. This says right here, the light in God. The light in the Lord, Jesus Christ, is our source. So right there, we have our source, we have our strength, we have our means by which we can shine, okay? That's very foundational. And then, if you go on here, there's a parenthetical statement. It says, for the fruit of the light is goodness, righteousness, and truth. So, walk as light, and this is what light looks like. It looks like goodness, righteousness, and truth. John MacArthur sums this up. He says, goodness is our relationship with others. Righteousness is our relationship towards God. And truth relates to personal integrity. So why would he choose just these three specific aspects of the light? Right there, it sums up a lot of our Christian faith, how we react to others, our relationship with God, and ourselves, our personal integrity. That pretty much covers it all. So if any of you here tonight are struggling with your assurance of salvation, I struggled with that till I understood some truths, some very specific truths when I was in high school. One thing that you can do is look as a test and see, am I living in goodness, righteousness, and truth? Okay, well, let's step through each of these terms. Goodness, agathosune, it finds its fullest and highest expression in that which is willingly and sacrificially done for others. That's goodness. There are many examples that we can give for this goodness, for this sacrifice for others, but I think a very practical one is grace giving. We have a focus, our focus is rightly on giving to God. Yes, we are giving to God. But if we follow 1 John, if we really love one another, we will give to each other. So the God-man relationship is, yes, I'm giving my money to God, but there's obviously a human relationship going on, right? So I'm giving to the church so that those that in need can be supplied. Just like Acts, they gave to each other so that nobody was in need. So we give to the deacons' fund so that people can have their needs met. We give to missionaries so that they can go out and have their needs met, but then so they can spread the gospel throughout. We give to our pastors so they can study and minister in the word. We give because we love each other. We give not because it's a duty or because we're supposed to give a certain percentage or whatever. We give because we love, because we are light. So there's a simple test. Do you love one another as much as you will give to one another? If you don't give, then maybe there's something missing. Goodness, giving to others. Righteousness, this is godly, righteous action or living. There's a pure sense about it. In 1 John 2:29, it says, if you know that he, Jesus, is righteous, you know that everyone also who practices righteousness is born of him. Back in chapter 4, verse 24 of Ephesians, we see that our righteousness is possible only because of the imputed righteousness of Jesus Christ. It says, put on the new man which was created according to God in true righteousness and holiness. So positionally, God sees us as righteous, but that righteousness will produce righteous acts. We are enabled to live righteously because of Christ, because of his work. But the light produces righteousness. So do you live a holy life? There's the question to ask. Do you live a righteous life? As you think back to this past week, what sins were you struggling with? And have you been habitually struggling with sins, certain sins? Are you living righteously? That's the fruit of light. And the third one is truth. And truth is a quality that springs totally from God. And it creates a new, I guess you could say, a truth action in people. So we don't live in opposition to the truth, which is hypocrisy, deceit, false ways. This is darkness. Lying is darkness. We live according to the truth. So with our husbands and our wives and our children, we live according to the truth. With our employers, we live according to the truth. If you're a contractor, those who you work for, you live according to the truth. That's what the light does. Goodness, righteousness, and truth. You were darkness, now you are light, so walk in the light. What does the light look like? Goodness, righteousness, and truth. For this final point, I'm going to take you through the rest of the passage in four statements or observations, and we're going to specifically apply each of these. The first statement begins in verse 10. He continues after the parentheses. He says, you were darkness, now you're light. Now walk in light. This is what light is. And then he continues. He says, finding out what is acceptable to the Lord. Problem number one that we have is we struggle with not automatically knowing what is acceptable to God. We don't just become a believer and then automatically know everything that we are to do is acceptable to God. And I think I can say that in confidence because the Ephesian church did not know everything they needed to do. Because it says, finding out what is acceptable to the Lord. So yes, the Spirit guides us. The Spirit directs us, but he directs us through what? Through the Word. The good news is that he has told us in his Word. If you're a dad and, you know, or you're a mom and you want your child to please you, can you just assume that your child is going to please you without communicating the truths that you need for that child to obey or to live accordingly, live in a right way? No, of course not. You know, dads, you have to communicate the truth to your child through correction, through, you know, instruction. Sometimes mom needs to communicate what pleases dad, okay, so that the kids can do it more efficiently in a better way and make dad happy. But there has to be communication, right? So it's clear, in a human way, there is communication for a pleasing relationship. Well, it's the same way spiritually. God has given us, he has communicated to us what is pleasing to him, and we are to find out what that is. We have a Bible study that meets on Thursday mornings, and we talk a lot about the struggle that all of us have with spending consistent time in the Word. And, you know, some guys will speak up and will say, you know, I haven't had a time in the Word for several weeks. You know, just a really good time in the Word. And I think that this is probably true for a lot of us. We struggle in making time, setting aside time to find out what pleases our God. But when you really think about it, it's pretty obvious, isn't it? You were darkness, now you are light, so walk in the light and find out what pleases your God. Spend time in the Word. This was Paul's motivation in 2 Corinthians 5. He said, we wanted to make it our aim to be well-pleasing to God. In Hebrews chapter 13, we want to do what is pleasing in his sight. So if you really want to please God, if you really have that desire to please God, then spend time in the Word. Start this week spending time in the Word and learning how to please God. The second struggle that we have is in verse 11. And that struggle is simply that we struggle with sin's temptations. The Ephesian church struggled with temptations because what does it say? It says, have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness. So if he's telling them to not have fellowship with these unfruitful works, then there were probably some people who were fellowshipping with the darkness or were at least being tempted to fellowship with the darkness. And Paul speaks very clearly in chapters 4 and 5 of what these works of darkness are. In just a few verses up, you see in verse 3 of chapter 5, but fornication, all uncleanness or covetousness, let it not even be named among you as is fitting for saints, neither filthiness, nor foolish talking, nor coarse jesting, which are not fitting, but rather giving of thanks. The unfruitful part here in verse 11, the unfruitful works parallels right above in verse 9 with the fruit of the light. So the light is fruitful. The darkness is anti-fruit. It's unfruitful. The darkness parallels with the light. The light is truth. The light is fruit. The darkness is deceit. The darkness is non-fruit. He says in earlier in chapter 4, he says in verse 17 that the Gentiles or the unregenerate walk in the futility of their mind, a meaninglessness to their life in the sight of God. There's no meaning. He says, don't walk like this. You're light. Walk with meaning. Walk in a fruitful way. You can. Jesus Christ has empowered you. He's given you the instructions to do it, so do it. This is what you once were. You once were darkness. You're not that anymore. You're light. Do it. There are two things about our relationship with the unfruitful works of darkness. He says, number one, take no part in them. So this carries the idea of a joint share or a regular practice. And I think we could all easily agree with that. You shouldn't have any part of the darkness. You shouldn't have any part of sin. You know, these people that are committing immorality, getting drunk, you know, coveting, lying, deceit. You shouldn't have any part of that. Yeah, amen to that. But what's the next phrase? But rather, what? Expose them. Ooh, easy. I'm not really comfortable with that. Expose them? What do you mean, Paul? Well, the sense of this word really carries several meanings, and it all melds together. It has to do with our actions, yes, to live a shining light, but also it has to do with our words, to speak words of light. This brings me to our fourth struggle that we have, and it's going to expand upon this thought. The third struggle is that we struggle because we don't have shame. We struggle because we don't have shame. What does he say in verse 12? He says, "For it's shameful even to speak of the things that they do in secret." We may not do these things. We may not commit these sins, these acts of darkness. Maybe some in here do, but I would think most of us would not. But do we speak about people that do? Or do we watch people commit these acts on TV or in movies and have no shame about it? It is a shame even to speak of the things that they do in secret. It becomes very clear that this hits home with many of us. How do we tolerate sin? We are light. Are you walking as light? The fourth struggle and final struggle that I want to hit on tonight is in verse 13. But when all things are exposed, are made manifest by the light, for whatever makes manifest is light. This verse is a tough one, okay? And many Bibles translate it differently, and many commentators take this very different ways, okay? What we know it's not saying is that when it says, for whatever makes manifest is light, that whatever the light shines upon automatically becomes light. Because we know that the gospel goes out to many people and they don't respond in a positive way, right? I mean, they do not become light as soon as the gospel becomes heard in their ears. So we know it does not mean that. This is what I think that it means, and I think you could translate it a little bit easier by saying, it is light that makes everything visible. It is light that makes all good things visible, and it is light that makes all bad things visible. Okay, so let's pick that apart a little bit. What is the light? In this passage, what is the light? The light is us, right? Isn't it? Okay, so let's think about the foundation in which we built here. We are the light. Christ is the light who has shined in our hearts, and we are one with Christ. We are the light. And Jesus Christ uses us as the light to shine in this world, to expose sin, and shine the light of the gospel out there in the world. So as you're in your workplace, if you are living like the light, like you are light, then as you live righteously and good and true in your day, it will expose the darkness around you. And the problem is that this is very uncomfortable for people many times. It's uncomfortable for us, and it's uncomfortable for those that are around us. The gospel is an offense because people are seeing, when they see the light, they're seeing what they really are. They're seeing that they are not good, that they are not righteous, that they are not true, and it grates against them. But we are the light, so we shine in our actions. We are the light. So we shine in our words. We have the light that we can verbally communicate to these people to share the light of God with them. It might be rejected, but it's being exposed. Their sin is being exposed. So what it's not saying is that we are, you know, telling sinners, telling unsaved people, you are wrong, you shouldn't be doing these things. They're, you know, it's bad, you shouldn't be living like that. Telling them is not going to do any good. I mean, how do you tell a blind man in a dark room to start seeing everything in that room? It's impossible, isn't it? There must be a source of light in that room. And there must be a miracle of light in that man's eyes so that he can see with that light what's in that room. And that's exactly what is happening in our world. People are blind. They're walking in darkness. We are the light. We are walking in the light. Jesus Christ as the light working through us, shining in this dark world on the darkness. The gospel is being made real. They can see it, and they're going to make a choice. Either they're going to turn and run, or they're going to be drawn to that light. There's an illustration of a man who was exploring in a cave, and his light on his helmet went out, and it didn't work anymore. He lost his battery or something. It didn't work. And so it was complete darkness, and he was deep in the cave. So he starts climbing out, trying to find his way, crawling around, just searching, you know, as frantically as he can possibly search for anything that will lead him to daylight. And he's trapped in there for several days. Finally, he sees, way far away, a tiny speck of light. And he starts scrambling towards that light, and he runs towards the light, and he gets to the light, he gets outside, and what happens? The light hurts his eyes. It's bright, it's shining, and it hurts. So what does he do? He shrinks back into the cave, he goes back into the darkness, and he lives there for the rest of his life because the light hurts his eyes. How many people do we come across in our day who are shrinking back into the darkness of a cave of doom because the light hurts their eyes? It's truly a work of God. It's truly a miracle of the Spirit of God to regenerate a heart and bring this heart from darkness to life. And this is what happened to us. And this happened to us so that we could shine as lights in our world. So as we go throughout this week, as you're working, think about this truth. You were darkness, now you're light. Walk as light. As you go throughout this week, are you living according to the light, which is goodness, righteousness, and truth? Let these words just ring through your ears as you deal with customers, as you deal with your coworkers, as you deal with your wife, as you deal with your kids. Are you living as the light of God? I trust that we will follow this passage and that as the light, we will walk as children of light. Father, as we've seen these truths, it is somber to think about the many, many people that are in darkness. Lord, we rejoice that you have made us to be light. We don't know why you have worked in our hearts specifically to bring light to us, but we thank you and we praise you and we worship you for that. Lord, I ask that you would help us, Father, as we go through this week, that we would shine as bright lights for you, that we would communicate the gospel of light to those that are around us through our actions as well as through our words. Lord, may you help us to live righteously and in goodness and in truth. We ask this in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.